With me today, he is an amazing man of God, and he hurts back a little bit, but we also have a dear, dear, dear friend, of our oldest friends, who's probably going to go to be with the Lord today. So my husband said, you know what, I'm just going to stay and pray and intercede for you, and so that's why he's not here. But as Nancy mentioned, we've run the New England Prayer Center 25 years now. It's hard to believe that it's 25 years, and this message is so important. I hope it is going to be just as important for you as it is for me. And it's called Creating a Clean Heart. And I want to tell you how this message got birthed. Now, as you can already see, I'm Italian. So get ready. I'm going to move a little bit because that's what I do. But, you know, this message got birthed about a year ago. And I've given it under 20 times maybe already at churches. It seems to be a message that we can all connect to. I was in Florida with, some of you may remember, Be Alive. Anybody remember that name, Be Alive? A company called Be Alive. Madeline Bled is a friend of mine. She's the founder of that company. And I was at her house in Florida. I try to go down to see her once a year. And sure enough, she had been taking a rest. She has some health issues. And I was cooking away in her kitchen for her. And she came out of her bedroom holding her chest. Sorry. And I looked at her and said, Madeline, I'm calling 911. Of course, I'm going to pray. And she's, no, Jean, I'll be okay. And I've been through heart before with some of my family members. I knew. Sure enough, she went to the hospital. She had 8 stents put in her heart. Now, if any of you, that's a lot of stents. 2 is a lot. 4 is a lot, but 8 is a lot. And I spent the night in the hospital with her. And during the night, I saw a little light coming through the door of her room. They had shut the door. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, oh, Lord, there you are. What are you saying here, Lord? What are you saying? And I heard the Holy Spirit inside of me say, my people have spiritual blockage. So I had to really discern that, think about it, dig it out in Scripture. What does that mean? Well, we just sang a song that said, and by the way, thank you, worship leader, wherever you are, you're awesome. We sang, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We sang, create in me a clean heart, right? Well, if God's, that's a passage of Scripture, right? In the Psalms, we know that. But if God's saying, create in me a clean heart, that must mean our hearts can be not so clean, clogged. And, you know, today is Father's Day, and I join with Nancy and the church and say, happy Father's Day, but it's his day. He's the Father. And what does he want? What would he want if he's the father of, one of the descriptions, father of lights? Who's the lights? we're the lights on the earth, right? We're his kids. And he wants us, I believe, to rejoice and be glad in this day. How do we do that? Well, we praise, we worship, we pray. Those are all great things. And those are all important things. But how are we really going to rejoice and be glad in this day? One day, I was confessing Scripture. And I was walking along a pathway and I said, Lord, today is the day you made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And he said, really, in my spirit, really, sit down. And I sat down in the woods. And I was quiet because I got really quiet before the Lord. And all of a sudden, I could hear a bird that I couldn't hear. I could smell a smell that I couldn't smell. I could see through the forest. I could I could feel the leaves. And God gave us 5 senses, right? 6, really. Discernment. The prophetic is a sense. So he wants to wake up our senses. Scripture says, wake up, O sleeper. If you or I were in a fire, if the alarm went off right now, we would have our antennas up. Where's the fire? Smell. Where do we go? Right? We'd all know what to do because all of a sudden we became alert to what's happening. Well, God wants us that our senses to wake up. That's why he repeats that in Scripture so many times, three times. Wake up, O sleeper. And he wants our spiritual antennas to be up. How does that work? I believe that he doesn't want a prayer time. He wants a prayer life. And we make prayer a prayer time, right? Sometimes we compartmentalize prayer. Okay, now we're going to this prayer meeting. And we walk out of the prayer meeting and we're no longer in the prayer meeting. But God wants a prayer life. And so he wants us to understand that we are sitting at his table. He is across from us. And when we agree with his word, and when we get into the power of agreement over his word, we can rejoice and be glad in the day. We're not disagreeing. We're not in unbelief. We're not in, I'm not sure, Lord, but we're agreeing with what he's got to say. Did you know, you may not have known this, I'm going to give you a fun fact, that we have already lived 170 days into this year. 170 days we've already had in 2016. Which means, if my calculation's right, we have 190 days left to 2016. Why do I say that? Because time just goes, doesn't it, in a split second. You look at those girls, your parents of those girls probably said, "Where that? How'd that happen, right? How'd you get to be so big?" So time just flies, and it's like never before in our world because of the internet and because of all the things we have. It flies, it seems like it flies faster. And we sometimes get into a mode of whatever we're doing, and we forget that God wants us to enter into his rest. And you know, folks, we can rest or be restless, one or the other. And that's so important. It's so holy. It's so critical for us to really enter into that place of rest. Today is the day the Lord made. I want you to rejoice and be glad in it, and I want you to rest. I drove down, every time I come to Old Greenwich, you know, you go by that beautiful scene with that lake there in the park, and you just can't help but say, oh, God, your creation. How, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous everywhere. There's something beautiful everywhere. But, you know, we take it for granted. We probably pass by that every day. And then we start to not see it anymore because we've seen it so many times. Don't do that. God doesn't want us to take things for granted because we just don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Is that true? We just don't. We don't know, right? So he wants us to wake up. He doesn't want us desensitized, and he gave us five good senses. And on March 15th, which was... today is June 19th, so just a few months ago, 2 months ago, it happened to be my handsome husband's 60th birthday on March 15th. Now, my kids call him Superman. He looks like Hercules. He is the guy that, he's handsome as could be, I promise. He's built. He's the guy that spends every single morning in the gym, 5 o'clock, he's in there. I mean, you know, I just want to go, I can't do it. But he's the guy that's in there, and he looks fabulous. He works. He's been a mason construction. He's strong. Well, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on March 15th, my husband calls me up, and he says this. I said, "Dan, where are we going tonight?" And he goes, "Gene," and he never calls me Gene. And he said, "I'm having chest pain." And I said, "Dan, hang up the phone. I'm calling 911. I'm on Main Street. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I got there. The ambulance got there. He was having what's called the widowmaker heart attack, which is not, it's, get him to the hospital. We got to the hospital at 4:30, I think. By 5:10, they cleared it. The whole thing was done. He never had to go to cardiac rehab because he's in such good shape. But the doctor told me this, one more minute, he wouldn't be on the earth. One more minute. He was 100%, not 80, not 90. He was 100% occluded. Why do I tell you this story? Because time, God clearly through that experience, that whole thing said, time is short. You've got to tell my people, time is short. There's no time to waste. So how do we unclog create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. How does that happen for us? How is that going to take place in our lives? And here I'm going to try to unpack that from his word, not from mine. So we've got all these experiences in life, right? And who in this room hasn't gone through a long suffering, right? Who hasn't gone through? Who can say I've never been through? Can I tell you, if you're like me and you want to treasure the word, which I know you do, and you want to do an incredible search in the Bible, there's two words in the Bible that are thread from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And they are the cry of the human heart. And they've been the cry of the human heart, and they're still the cry of the human heart today. And the two words are this: how long? Now, I want you to finish that sentence right now. How long, Lord, till you finish it? Come on, you finish the sentence in your own mind. What's your how long? What's your how long? Because everybody's got one. How long till, right? Well, let's talk about this now. Long-suffering happens to be what? A fruit of the Spirit. We all want love, joy, peace, kindness. We all want those. But when we hear the word suffering, we don't want anything to do with suffering. Come on, I speak to the hands. I don't want that. But long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. And God births patience through our suffering. And love is... thank you. Love is patient. And love is kind. And love doesn't envy, and it doesn't boast. And it doesn't treat others with dishonor. And it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And it's not easily angered. And it delights, I don't know what version this is up here, but doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, it always hopes and perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. So the blockages in our heart, if we're talking about the heart of the matter here, which we are, right? Do you know, Bible fact, that I could find on Bible Gateway, and so can you, there are 925 scriptures on the heart. 925. So God must want to tell us something about our hearts, right? He must want to say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, right? Us, for us. And we've got to do it through this. God is love, and he gave us this passage to live our lives to each other, our friends, our children, to the world, to ones we know, ones we don't know, and the person in front of us today at the gas station, this passage. I think it's the foundational passage of Scripture. And he wants us to have a clean heart. So let's look at this. If long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit, which it is, and we all have a long-suffering, you following me, everybody? Do you know that one of the root meanings of long-suffering means this? Guess what it means? It means to take a deep breath. If I was to say to you, You don't look like a stressful person. Nobody looks stressful in here. But if whoever's stressful, I'm using my friend here. If I was to say to this wonderful man, so, what's your first name?
Connie.
Slow down. Hold on, Connie. Take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. What am I saying to him? I'm saying, Connie, just take a deep breath so you can get back on track. And God's using our long sufferings to get us back on track, because he wants us on alignment. Lisa prayed that. Alignment this morning, she prayed. Scripture tells us in Genesis that God breathes life into a man. He breathes it. And in fact, it says he breathed into the nostrils of Adam. That's what it says. How close is he? If he breathes into our nostrils, he's about this close, right? So when he breathes into us life, a revelation of understanding of what it is he wants us to do, which is to rejoice and be glad in this day and to have a clean heart, then he's saying, okay, you got it. And what I want to do now is just make suggestions. I don't know better. And believe me, I'm honest to God before God. Jesus knows I have to work this out in my own life. And the thing that I believe is if we're just willing, just be willing to say, well, maybe I do have that. Maybe I do have that. Let me look at that. And that's the first place to start. So all I want to do is make a couple of suggestions to you today. Suffering does change us, but there's a saying that says, when it becomes more difficult to suffer than to change, that's when real change happens. And God wants real change. We sang a song, it's already done. The blood's already covered us. We're free. And you know, Scripture tells us that in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. I want to walk in that. I really do. But I don't always walk in the fullness of joy because I'm worrying about yesterday or I'm worrying about tomorrow. Forget it. Today is the day the Lord made. We're here. Don't be in two places at once. Let's be right here, right? Right here, right now. Judy Shaw. Experience changes us. It matures us. It sort of graduates us. It helps in our decision making. It helps in our prayer life. It helps us to look ahead, and it shows us how to pray. Be willing to change what we need to change. We, especially us women, now you know this, ladies, we often operate out of our feelings. We say, we say, I feel this. Well, I just feel this way. Well, I feel this. Now, if Publishers Clearinghouse knocked at your door, Connie, and said you just won $5 million, yippee, yes, let's do jumping jacks. But if you get the phone call, the bad news phone call, okay, roller coaster. God gave us our feelings because He wants us to feel, but He wants the truth of His word on top of our feelings. He does not want us to operate out of our feelings. Well, I just feel that, you know, she doesn't think that. He wants the truth of His word on top of what we feel. It's okay to feel, but put the truth of His word, get a scripture, and put it on top. We want to refocus thoughts today, right? Refocus our thinking to like a higher vantage point, Lord. Give us that today. So creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I took that scripture. You can call me quirky. It's okay. I don't mind. You can call me quirky. I took that scripture. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Those girls who know me know I do this. I crumbled that piece of paper up. Crumbled it so it's jagged. I put it in my shoe. And I walked around and everywhere I went. And I felt that in my shoe. I said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I knew I was off. Create in me a clean heart. I was at the gas station. I was at the grocery store. I was at the doctor. Create in me. But at 5 o'clock that day, I must have said it 3,000 times. And that's called standing on the word, right? That's called standing on the word. All of a sudden, I didn't feel that scripture in my shoe anymore. I didn't feel it, but I said it. And here's the thing about that. The word has to root in us. It can't be because your pastor's great. Man, this church is great, but it can't be on somebody else's. It has to be in us. Amen. Right? So the word has to root inside of us. And you have to say it and memorize it and think about it and meditate on it and do whatever it takes. Write it on your mirror. Whatever it takes to get it in us. So it's in us. Because once it's in us, then when something's off, when something's wrong, we can have a go-to scripture right there. This is what I feel. I feel depressed, but God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Whatever it is you need, if you have that word stored up in your heart like a storage cabinet and you can bring it out to the Lord, you can be in agreement with Him. And you know what? The devil has to flee 1,000 ways. Matthew 13:15 says this. This is what it says. It says this. For the people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and I would heal them. Matthew 13:15. Listen, God wants us to have vision and faith. My people perish for lack of vision, and he wants faith in us. He wants faith that's unwavering, right? So calluses, you men that work with your hands, you know that you didn't get that callus, and ladies, in 1 second. My husband didn't have that 100% occlusion overnight. It came over time, and he didn't know he had it. And with spiritual blockage, it comes over time. We don't know we have it. Everything's good. We go to church on Sunday. We do all the things, but we don't realize we have spiritual blockage because love is patient. So if we're impatient and we're going off the handle in 1 second, we got to look at that because love is patient. God, help me with that. The reason why we end up in this blockage thing that we don't know we have is, I'll tell you three reasons, according to Scripture. We go to bed with the cares of life, the seeds. This is from the parable of the seeds. We go to bed with the cares of life. We watch the news, we watch the bad news, and we go to bed with the bad news, or we think about the bad news. And the last thing we do is we turn off the TV and we watch the 10 o'clock news or the 11, and we wake up with it. Or we go our own news. It doesn't have to be the news on television. We go in our own head, our own mindset, and then we wake up with the bad mindset. So we go to bed with the cares of life, and we sleep with them. We give up. We give up. We just said, I can't do this any longer. I give up. I quit. Does God want you to quit? Does he want me to quit? He never wants us to quit, because perseverance brings around hope, and hope never disappoints, right? So he never wants us to quit, because he's the God of all hope. And we have to have a hope mindset. You know, in Thessalonians, it talks about the helmet of hope, not just the helmet of salvation. We have to put the helmet of hope on our head. That's the hope mindset. You want to do a fast? Ladies and gentlemen, I tell my kids, you want to fast? Fast this way. Do a fast about hope. Read every scripture there is on hope, and you'll change our minds. Right? So we have to have the third reason why we have blockages that we don't know we have is because of what God said. He says, do not harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. What's the day of the rebellion? Well, I can tell you, I had a BC before Jesus Christ in my life, before I knew him. And I can tell you, I was in rebellion. Rebellion can be whether you know him or not, because this is what it is. I'm doing my own thing. I don't care what God says. That's what rebellion is. I don't feel it. I need comfort. I need. He is everything we already need. He's everything we need already, anytime. So we go to bed, we give up, we go to bed with the heart of the cares of life, we give in to temptations, we get tempted and we give in to them, and then we harden our hearts. Hebrews 3:7 says this, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the day of rebellion. Excuse me, sorry, 1 second. It's the Italian. Hold on. During the time of testing in the wilderness. What's your wilderness? Well, we know the wilderness is for testing. Okay, we're going to get to the heart of the matter, because you and I matter. When something's the matter, shows up in a lot of places. It shows up on our face. I mean, you people, especially women in this room, if you have a good girlfriend, she doesn't have to say one word. She can look at you, I can look at you, I can look at my friend and say, what's the matter? Because it shows up right on our face. Shows up in our thinking, shows up in our choices, shows up in our addictions. But it shows, most of all, when something's the matter, it shows up in our faith. That's where it shows up the biggest to God, right? And he's saying, come on, let me fix that matter. So he breathes life into us like he did to Adam. And he's going to breathe his life this morning to create a clean heart in us. How can that happen in this few minutes left? How can that happen? Because the Holy Spirit is here, because two or more are gathered. And he's in our midst. And he's this close. and the angel armies are here, like we sang. Do you believe what you sang this morning? I did. The angel armies, thank God, I need them. The angel armies are here, Robert. You know, I love Nancy and Robert, but I'm not going to get into that right now. What happens in Africa stays in Africa. So I was watching TV yesterday, and they had a woman on who's doing the blood bank in Florida for the Orlando thing. And she was saying how they need more, even though so many people gave blood, and she was really so thankful, and she's saying how much more they really do need. And she's made this statement. She said, nothing can replace blood. And I thought, God, nothing can replace your blood. Nothing. Nothing. The problem that I think that may happen with some people is we don't appropriate the blood of Jesus. We know about it. We believe it. We believe he shed his blood, but we take communion. But we don't appropriate it on our matters of the heart. And we need to learn how to do that. Love is patient, and it's kind, and it doesn't envy, and it doesn't boast, and it doesn't dishonor others, and it doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and it doesn't get easily angered, and it doesn't delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth, and it always protects, always trusts, always believes. It never fails. Okay. Patience, I said, knows its place. And if you've struggled with impatience, which we probably all know that we all have, just take a deep breath. The world is very unkind, and we are watching that played out on TV every day. And, you know, I had Danny and I had a missionary from Mozambique several years ago. Maybe you ever heard her name, Heidi Baker. She actually came to the prayer center. We didn't know she was as popular as she was. And we ended up, you know, figuring out as people were emailing us and calling us, we better put up a tent. And 600 people came to hear this woman. She's been in Mozambique, and, you know, she's an amazing person. Has had a lot of healings through her ministry. God uses her to heal the sick. But she said this. Here's what my takeaway of the whole day was this. She said, I can see my blind beggars. I go past them. They're people who have nothing. She said, the problem here in Fairfield County is you can't see your blind beggars. Everybody's dressed in nice suits and drives nice cars, but inside. And she said, here's what has to happen. She said, too big, too small. Too big, too small, right? So we want to be pliable in God's hands to say, God, what are you saying? And we want to exhibit and show kindness. There's a passage, you're going to have to check me out. I don't know exactly where it is, but I think it's in 2 Kings. And it talks about the building of the temple and how many cubits high the pillars were. And if you really study that out, they were taller than any man of the day, even though the people were bigger and taller. And on that pillar that was built, there was a sculptor. And he went up and he fashioned a lily on top of the pillar, on the very top. Why did he do that? He did it because only God could see it. And God wants us, our lily works in place. He wants us to do things that only he can see. That's real kindness. Take a deep breath. Jealousy, when it's in full bloom, it can turn to hatred or murder. And so we want to release the competitiveness. We don't want to be envious. I have a little funny saying that I say sometimes, oh, I have godly envy. No, it's wrong. He doesn't want us envious. He's made us just the way we are. He's made us beautiful. He's made us with a voice of an angel. He's made us kind. He's made us, some of us, rich. Some of us, all kinds of ways. He knows exactly who we are, where we are, and what we're supposed to be. And we're all called as, we're not robots, we're all different. It's so beautiful. It's his garden, right? So he doesn't want us in this jealousy thing. Take a deep breath. No pride. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Right? Pride usually shows up in arrogance. It usually shows up in showing off and pretending. It's unselfish. I mean, it is selfish. And when you're unselfish, you won't treat others with any kind of arrogance, no matter who they are. Dishonoring and rude, irritable, touchy. When God's calling us to honor one another. Take a deep breath. Easily angered. I say this, I'm not discluding anybody's personal stuff, but I coach some people, you know. And there's a boy who came Friday. I've seen him many times. And he's suffering with a lot of physical illness. And he wants me to pray for him, which I'm so happy to do. But, you know, I like to get an axe to the root, if God will help me, the Holy Spirit. And so this boy struggles with a record of wrongs from his past. His father did this. His mother did. His friend. And I said to him, listen, let me ask you this. I said, do you know about the alligator attack in Florida? This was so from God. It wasn't from Gina. And he said, yes. And I said, you have a little three-year-old girl, right? Yeah. I said, knowing the answer, I said, would you have gone in that water after that alligator if it happened to your daughter? He said, of course. I said, okay, would your dad have gone in? He said, yes. I said, would your mom have gone in? Yes. Would your friend that you're mad at have gone in? Yes. So I said, then why are you keeping a record of wrongs from the past in their life if they die for you and your family?
That's right.
We got to stop keeping the record. We got to break the record. Come on, God wants us to break the record of offense. Do not be easily offended, Scripture says. Break the record of the person that offended you. We have all been offended, and I can know this for absolutely 100% sure, because we're imperfect people and we live in an imperfect world, and we're dealing with people every day that are imperfect and they're dealing with our imperfections. Break the record of wrong of those who offended you. If you don't, you live in the past. And here's what happens when you live in the past, folks. Nancy, I have a few more minutes, right? Okay. Here's what happens when you live in the past. For the people on this side, I'll show you in a minute. So, if you live in the past, you're trying to get over there. You want to get there so bad. That's the future and the hope. But because you live in the past, you're looking this way, trying to get over there, and you're derailing, you're getting off mark, and you're going to crash. Boom. And so you don't make it. Forget it. It happened. We sang the song. Wait, Jesus' blood made me clean. Clean. We all have a past. Jesus' blood made me clean. White as snow, as a matter of fact. Break the record. Don't live in the past. A broken heart is one that won't forgive easily. And anything that plagues you is a plague. You know that? Anything that you're going to over and over and over and over and over and over and over again about that, it's a plague. It's got to go. And you got to ask Jesus. If you have that, this is the start today. Just be willing to say, God, I might have that. I keep thinking about this same thing. Because, you know, if I walk in the woods on the same path, pretty soon that path is, there's no more leaves. It's all brown dirt. I've worn a groove into that area because I walk it every day. And it's the same thing in our thinking. If we think about the same thing, it's a groove. And every time we wake up when we fall right into that groove, that mindset, and God's saying, I want to renew your mind. The washing of, who said it this morning? The washing by the word of God. He wants to fill that pathway and clean it up so you don't go get caught in there anymore. By the washing of the word. Gossip is a blockage. Well, I'm just going to tell you this for prayer purposes. No. Can't repeat a matter. Scripture actually says that to repeat a matter separates good friends in Proverbs. Right? Won't accept the truth. That's fear. In the fret, worry, fear, whatever you want to call it, it's unhealed fear when you won't accept the truth. And listen, we have to have the godly fear of the Lord. We know that. So any other fear is not from fear is not from God. Love is from God. And love never fails. I'm going to go through these quick so we can get through them. There could be some generational things in that, no question. That's why you have prayer teams, and that's why you have people that have pastors and people that can discern that, and you can go to them, and you can get free from that. Character, somebody who doesn't protect, they're insecure, right? The integrity, the honesty, they use money unwisely is a sure sign of that. Just a suggestion. Doesn't trust, it's a spirit of suspicion, controlling everything. They got to be in control of every single thing. It does, you know, if they don't make it the jurisdiction, then it's not going to happen. You got to get rid of that. Control doesn't let God be in control, and he gives us choice. One day I was crying at my kitchen table before the Lord in the morning. I had a really difficult situation in my life, and I had tissue box next to me. And the only thing I could pray was, God, where are you? Help. And I grabbed a tissue. And you know what he said to me? Hold everything loosely, please. Help. H-E-L-P. Hold everything loosely, please. A victim spirit is a blockage. It's everybody else's fault. Not my fault. Excuses for everything. That is a serious blockage. Whenever you hate a person or yourself, there could be some demonic activity present. There could be. So you need to get some counsel on that. Take a deep breath. Hope is always deferred. That's a blockage. You put it for some other time. I can't have hope today because this happened. Tragedies happen. Hard things happen. Terrible things happen. But we can't have hope deferred. We got to have hope today because today is the day the Lord made and he wants us to rejoice and be glad in it. Perseverance, failure, all of those things. But the other big thing, I'm almost done, is he doesn't want us to pray the problem. He wants us to pray the solution. We are so busy praying the problem. God, I got this, and I need this fixed, and I need help on this, and I need help. We don't pray his word that is the solution. So we have to learn to pray, the solution. One more minute. I'm so sorry. I'm in a little trouble here. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Last couple things. I found myself in a bank and not so long ago, about a year ago. Little bank, People's Bank on Madison Avenue in Trumbull. Little rural bank, freestanding building. Friday morning, I walk into the bank. I know everybody or know a lot of the tellers in the bank. I've been using this bank for years. And here I am, the new, brand new manager and assistant manager in the bank. So the brand new manager came out to greet me. She's a little lady from Ecuador, and she wanted all her customers to know her. So she comes out to greet me. It's a beautiful day. We're chatting. But in my mind, after a few minutes, I said, I got to go. I said, I've got a Bible study. I got to go teach. And here's what I heard. I'm being honest now. I heard you're in a traffic jam. That's what I heard. Because I teach people, if you're in a traffic jam, don't complain because God could be sparing you from an accident. True?
Right.
So I hear this. And I said, okay, Lord, to myself as she's talking, Connie, I said, I better engage this conversation because either she has something for me or I have something for her. So I did. And I engaged the conversation, put the Bible study on hold because God wants us to love the person in front of us. We don't take the time sometimes to do that. All of a sudden, within seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, I don't know how long, two armed, screaming, masked, gunned, crazy men come in the bank and say, hands up! And the trouble is, my hands did go up, but my knees went down. And I said, the only thing I know how to do in this situation, which I've never been in my life, is to pray, Lord. I have to come before you. I got to close my eyes. And I got on the floor, and I got down on the floor, and he was robbing the bank, and all I did was pray. And I said, God, spare everybody's life. Get them out. And within a minute, a few minutes, they terrorized the people in the bank, and they robbed the bank. Money strewn on the floor. Out they went. They knock over a little old lady coming into the bank. So the bank goes on lockdown. And she testifies to the FBI police, whoever they are, the people that came. I'm in a chair, like, they won't let you say one word. No one can say a word because they want you to memorize everything that you saw. So I'm looking around. I see the assistant manager in his office, and he's in trauma. He's just staring at the wall, and he can't, I mean, we all were, but he looked really like he was a wreck. And the little old lady says that she was walking in, and she saw a car running, and she said, and the car running was their car. She said to herself, somebody must be in a big hurry. They never leave their car running, you know, in this day and age, and leave the car. But the car was parked right next to my car. So chances are, if I didn't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, I would have kerplunked right into their path coming in and probably been in their trunk. So I was safer in the bank than I was out of the bank. The end of this story is to tell you, my phone rang recently, this is a year later almost, and it was the FBI. And when you get a call from the IRS or the FBI, what are you supposed to do? This is not a real thing. But he says, Mrs. Blaze, you were in a bank robbery. And then I realized he's telling me the truth, like this is. He said, we need you to come down to our offices. I said, for what? He said, well, we've captured the men, and they're pleading not guilty, and we have them, and we have them on surveillance and video, but any little detail of the story we never know. It could add to their years, and we really want to, you know, get them put away. So I said, okay, I'll come down. And here I find myself in this FBI office with the long table, and three guys come in their suits, and they said, now we want you to tell us every single detail that you can remember. And I said, okay, but I have a question for you. And they said, what is it? And I said, well, do you know who the Holy Spirit is? And he said, excuse me? And I said, because he's part of the story. And I, if you want me to tell you every detail, I have to tell you. And I told them the story, just like I just told you. And they all leaned forward. They stopped being so FBI-ish. And they smiled. And they couldn't do enough for me. They welcomed me down there. They wanted to buy me lunch. So you just never know, right, what God's going to do. And I say that to you because laughter's medicine, and it is great that we're all here. And the very last thing that I want to leave you with today, and I hope this was, I hope God's glorified. That's all I care about, God. You've be glorified in this. I want everybody to take a deep breath right now. Come on. You have a clean heart. You have a clean heart. No shame, no regret, no fear, no nothing, because God was here today. Amen. Cleaning hearts. I somehow, only God was able to create an app, which is a whole other story. I'm not promoting the app, it's only because of him. But in the app, it's called Declare It. I want to leave you with this. I want to read these declarations over you. They're all scripture. Some of them are written because it's for the world. It's not just, we want non-Christians to get a hold of this. I want to read these over you, okay? So if you'll close your eyes, take a breath, And let me read these. Father, I thank you that you are doing a powerful work in a quick way, the way we could never do it because it's your way. Your ways are higher than ours. Your thoughts are more than ours. So over all of us this morning, God, I just make your declarations. And we agree with your word. Father, we're getting stronger every day. We're not going to let our past determine our future. We're taking a deep breath right now, breathing in life. We have peace that passes our understanding. Things are turning around in our lives. God, you can handle it. We don't have to. I'm not going to pray based on the problem. I'm going to pray based on the solution from now on. I'm only steps away from the destiny that you have for me. I won't do the same thing over and over again that gets me no results. I'm a great listener. I won't repeat a confidence. I don't have to try to be perfect, but I can seek to be excellent. I may cry, but my tears are liquid prayer. I will not be afraid today. Goodness and mercy follow me around all day today. Let there be light wherever there is darkness in my life. It's going to be a good day. Because you made it. I release control to you, God. I choose to resist the temptation to... I choose to celebrate this day with thankfulness. God, you believe in me. I choose to forgive. I appreciate what I have today. There's no more stinking thinking that I'm going to do. I will not dwell on the past anymore. Your will, God, is your word. I choose to love my husband. I choose to love my wife. I will be successful because I work hard. God, you're with me every moment of every second of every day. I am focused and I have clarity. You're shining your light on me, Lord. Jesus, I refuse to say, I don't know anymore. You've given me wisdom because I've asked you for it. I will not be part of the problem, I'll be part of the solution. I won't be easily offended. Fear never makes the right choice, so I won't choose anything out of fear anymore. Today is my gift from you. Hope is in me because you put it there. I just have to get it out. My communication is healthy and it dispels confusion. I will count my blessings today. I surrender my right to always be right. I won't hold anyone else hostage by my expectations. God, you've given me a sound mind. I'm not losing it. I'm free to be me. I'm not going to trust my feelings. I'm going to trust the truth. I know you sent angels to tell people in Scripture not to be afraid. I'm free from anxiety. I'm looking up because God is the lifter of my head. I will pay it forward right now. I am excellent at what is good and I'm innocent of evil. And God crushes Satan underneath my feet. I choose to love. God, you are love. And love is patient and it's kind and it doesn't envy and it doesn't boast. And it doesn't dishonor others, and it keeps no record of wrongs, and it doesn't get easily angered, and it doesn't delight in evil, which means it doesn't put money over God. But it rejoices in the truth, it always protects, always hopes, always trusts, always perseveres. Love never fails. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you.